Looking for an assist with your credit card, but you can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
You don't get bored by baseball.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Baseball is not boring. This has been proven time and time again. It's been proven the last few days, thanks to the World Series. It's been proven because of the postseason. It's been proven because of the great baseball season we've seen. It's been proven because of social media. And today we're proving it with an interview with Jonathan Papelbon, all-time Phillies save leaders. Also happens to be the all-time Red Sox save leaders. But we're talking about the Phillies. We're talking about Philadelphia. What's it like to play in Philadelphia? He had a very complicated time in Philadelphia. Papelbon did. And of course, there is Bryce Harper. There is Bryce Harper, the Bryce Harper conversation. This is going to be the thing that you're going to want to listen to when it comes to Papelbon talking about his confrontation with Bryce Harper, of course, a few years ago when they got in a fight at both members of the Washington Nationals in the dugout. You're going to be surprised what Papelbon said. I'm just going to say that. You're going to be surprised. All right. It's a good interview. I want to get right to it. Also, real quick, contest. You're listening to this on Halloween. You still have time. Give us at BB Isn't Boring. You're on Twitter, on Instagram. Give us a photo of your best baseball theme costume. Kids, parents, pets, I don't care. We don't care. Whatever it is, at BB Isn't Boring. Please pass them along. And the grand prize for the best photo is a good one. It's 2 tickets to opening day of any park you want. And any park you want. There you go. And the top 5 will send Baseballs and Boring t-shirts. Shout out Swing Juice. Once again, you go to Swing Juice to get those t-shirts. Or you can go to the at BB Isn't Boring social accounts and find them there. But it's a good time to have a contest. It's a good time to dress up. It's a good time to do an interview. And real quick, can I vent just a second before we get to the Papelbon interview? Vent for a second. Okay. Congratulations to Pat Hoberg, right? Congratulations to him, the home plate ump for game 2. Perfect game. Didn't miss a call. It's unbelievable. I think that we can't be highlighting this enough. Great job. We rail on the umpire so much, especially at big moments in the postseason. He should be highlighted. Now, he graded out the best of any umpire behind the plate all year long. I am baffled by this. I have been baffled even before this. I understand there's a rotation. And I just tweeted, I said, if Hoberg is best, why isn't he behind home plate for every game of the World Series? It's like having Mike Trout hit ninth the day after launching 4 home runs. All right. For those who don't understand or don't realize, I understand there's a rotation. Right now, the rotation does not have him behind home plate again the rest of the World Series. So the best guy in your game is only going to be umpiring one game behind the plate at home for the World Series. One game. And the game that he did, by the way, it was a perfect game. And you're not going to run him out there again because you have this rotation. And a lot of people would say, well, you can't throw him out there every game. He'll get worn down. All right, let's just assume that that's correct. But how do you have this guy only slotted for one game behind home plate? It's not only just this one game that he did really, really well. It's all year long. He was the best. He was the best. So anyway, listen, I mean, this is what makes baseball so great. These sort of conversations, something like this comes up all the time. I enjoy the debate. I enjoy the conversation. And I really enjoyed sitting down with Philadelphia Phillies all-time save leader, Jonathan Papelbon. If there is one former Philly, I would love to talk to. There's a lot of them. I'll say this. This is the guy that I want to talk to in this postseason. I'm not just saying that because we just talked to him, because of his perception of the Philadelphia market and also because of the Bryce Harper stuff. And we also get into Framber Valdez swiping his wrist, his hand, whatever, and how that dynamic is. Papelbon talks a little bit about how he views that. And of course, celebrations, because you know what? When you have a guy jumping around in a kilt with a beer box on his head, that guy knows how to celebrate. All right. Well, subscribe, follow, listen, leave a nice review. So far, everyone has been great leaving nice reviews. Joe Kelly, Alex Korb, the whole works. We're going to keep cranking them out. We're going to have them after every game here on in for the World Series. After game three, Nick Punto is going to join, hopefully, Courtney, Coop, and myself. I'll be on boots on the ground down in Philadelphia. So a lot to look forward to. But today, you get to look forward to a Jonathan Papelbon get-together. Here you go. Here's Pap. All right, there's nobody I would rather be talking to right now than the person whose brand has never been hotter, the owner of the Papel brand, Jonathan Papelbon. What's going on, man?
What's happening, brother?
All right, let's go. All right, welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Like we had asked you why baseball isn't boring before, and you said because you have grown men wearing tight pants, which is actually in our open. Congratulations.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, so having watched baseball all year, you can. It feels like baseball though is still entertaining, correct?
Oh, no question. Look at the World Series. We got a team that nobody expected to be in, and they're playing great against a team everyone expected to be in. So what? I mean, what more could you ask for?
No question about it. And speaking of the World Series, let's talk a little bit about the World Series. All right, I looked it up. You are the all-time save leaders for one of the teams in the World Series, correct?
Correct.
All right. Okay. So talk to me when you watch the Phillies play now, before we get into your history with the Phillies, whatever. When you watch the Phillies play right now, what is your sort of feeling that you have? Because sometimes, I don't know if it's different than watching the Red Sox play in the World Series. I don't know. What is your feeling watching these games?
My feeling right now is the Phillies got nothing to lose, and they're using that to their advantage, and they're playing like they got nothing to lose, balls to the wall, man. And I like the Phillies in this, man. I'm going to take the underdog, So as a baseball player, you just get that feeling and that sense when you watch another team play. You're like, man, they're all clicking together. And that's what's happening with Philly right now, I believe. And plus, being the all-time saves leader for Philly, I gotta kind of stay true to my roots.
I mean, there's no question about that. The fact is, let's talk a little bit about Philly. Like, we had talked earlier in another podcast about how when you went there, it was like you felt like this was going to be almost a dynasty, right?
I did.
Yeah. And so talk a little bit about that, if you can, about when you went there, about the what you expected from being in Philadelphia, from the time that you were there and sort of what happened.
Well, shit, man. We had myself. Let me just tell you these names. Myself, Cole Hamels, Roy Halladay, Jimmy Rollins, Cliff Lee, Chase Utley, Ryan Howard. Look, I went there thinking I was going to win like three more championships, honestly and truthfully. people started getting hurt. Ruben Amaro was given the keys to a Ferrari, and I felt like he wrecked it. You know, he just thought these guys were all going to just miraculously in their mid-30s recover and didn't – had spent too much money. And, I mean, even granted, that money was on me. I mean, I still felt like in my career – I mean, obviously being the sales leader still there, I produced. So I was – you know, so we just had a lot of money on the books, man, and I think he just couldn't keep his head above water. Then they had to dismantle.
So when you roll up, I mean, it is incredible that you are the saves leaders for the Philadelphia Phillies. Like, people would say, like, oh, you're the save leader for the Red Sox, sure. Yeah. But it's sort of like, you know, you came to the Phillies. It certainly wasn't the love fest that you had in Boston. I mean,
it never is when you're not a homegrown guy, I don't feel like, or have been there for an extra long time. I mean, Philly's a great city, man. Don't get me wrong. It's a great city. I mean, I know they're having a blast right now, and I feel like they're going to have another World Series parade there. But I just happened to go there in a time where, man, it was just they rode a high, and I thought they were going to keep riding those highs and those NLCS appearances year after year, and it just didn't work out, man.
When you came from a place in Boston, you were, listen, it wasn't all roses in Boston either, Pap, right? I mean, especially being your last time.
Roses anywhere, and winning covers up the roses.
Well, yes, covers up the lack of roses. Yes. The last time, I've said this, I remember the last time you were in the Red Sox uniform, you stood in the Baltimore clubhouse for like an hour answering questions after the last game in 2011. You talk about a clubhouse that had like no roses flying around that place. I mean, that was, of all the good times, that was not a good time. So you
know, when you're up by like, I think we were up by what, double digits going into September, close to it.
Yeah, best record in baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're not, my question is this. Is it so when you go to Philadelphia, there's a lot of similarities, I would imagine. Maybe I you played in Philadelphia, I didn't. But there's probably a lot of similarities in terms of the intensity when you went there. Could you, like, when you, let's start there, where you went to Philadelphia, did you feel that right away? The similarity with Boston, or was it different?
I've always said that there's a lot of similarities between the two cities for sure. But, you know, I think, you know, with Philadelphia, man, I think it's just their fans are the fans that I needed to be playing in front of. No question about it. Like, I want a fan that expects way more than what their ticket price or they feel like they should expect for their ticket price. Trust me. I look at my ERA in a day game when nobody shows up. Look at my ERA in a night game when the stadium's packed. So it's says itself. You know, and look, I'm going up to Philly. I got to do a show up in Philly, you know, and so I still hit back Philly. And so it's, I think I'm going there in December maybe. Yeah. But,
Well, you got to look, come on, get in my car with me tomorrow. We'll go there tomorrow. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I wish, but
yeah. You know. But yeah, so you make a good point. Like, this is, you know, this is when you do well, man, you're a hero, right?
Yeah. And look, I have no qualms with how they treat them when they don't do well, man. Like, look, I said I didn't come to Philly for this, and they hated for me for saying that. But then I think after I left, they realized, like, man, he might have been right. You know, he came here to win this city more championships, and I got to respect that. And so that's kind of how it's always been for me there, you know?
Did you feel like, you know, I feel like what you're saying is the same message that they would want to hear. Did you feel like this? It was at times that there wasn't this connection. Like, you guys don't understand. Like, I want to win here. Like, that's why I came here, and I'm frustrated that I'm not winning, and that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. Am I wrong about that?
Well, it just depends on how you take it. I mean, if you need a headline, you write it to where you need a headline. If you don't, you know, you let it be for what it is. But man, at the end of the day, I didn't care. You know, I didn't really care what the media even wrote about. At the end of the day, I cared what 25 guys in that clubhouse thought about me, and I went about my business the same way every day. you know, obviously there were some players who were like, hey, Pat, man, maybe chill out a little bit, you know, and like, yeah, you know, maybe right. It's going to all come back, you know. And you have that give and take. But to me, I cared about 24 of the guys in there and maybe a clubhouse attendant or two. But other than that, I didn't give a shit.
Yeah. Well, did you so what was your favorite moment? What was your favorite moment in Philly? I mean, this is obviously because, listen, this they're riding high and there's nobody I'd rather see. And by the way, they probably could use another bullpen arm. I'm not going to lie to you. So there you go. Limber up.
Well, I will tell you my favorite time in Philly was we did have a great group of guys. And my favorite part about Philly was the plane rides. We had as big as big league poker game as you can imagine. With myself, Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, Ryan Howard, Cole Hamels, Cliff Lee. And I remember a lot of flights where we had to literally wait, and the bus would wait on us to finish some hands. So
bigger than Boston, huh?
Oh, man, yeah. Oh, man, yeah.
Really?
Wow. Way bigger.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know we've talked about this. Ortiz just tried to overpower everybody, right?
Hey, look, worst poker player ever. That's all I gotta say.
All right, so when all that money's flying around on those flights in Philly, who's taking it?
Man, I tell you, Cliff took a lot. I took a lot. We had some suckers in there. I won't say who, but he broadcasts for TBS now. He's a pretty good sucker for money.
All right. So what was so that? Who?
Bald head.
Oh yeah. No. I got you. So other than the poker games on the buses or on the flights, give me some other good times in Philly, because this is like, listen, I mean, you watch it now, and Pap, you have to see this. Is I'm glad you're on, because what you're saying, like, this is what you expected. Like, you expected to be in the middle of this chaos, and we're in the middle of it in Boston. Obviously, you know what it's like, but you were expecting to be in the middle of the type of chaos that's going on around Citizens Bank Park right now.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's what I went there for. And, you know, like I said, unfortunately it didn't happen, but man, you know, injuries and father time are part of the game. I get that. But, you know, Philly's a great city when you're winning in it. It sucks when you're losing in it, but everything sucks when you're losing, and you need to step up your game when you're losing. But, man, some of the funnest times I always would have would be fishing in spring training, because I used to love to go fishing in spring training. But funny story is we stole Kyle Kendrick's boat one day. He was from Clearwater. And we stole Kyle Kendrick's boat, and we were running it a little bit too fast in the bay. Kind of ran into something. Thank God we didn't get hurt too bad, but we pretty much totaled his boat.
Really?
And he had a nice boat. He had a nice boat, real nice boat, man. And thank God it wasn't like we weren't going too fast, but man, it was funny. He got mad.
Well, you and I are in the same fantasy football league now. I don't think he's winning any money to buy himself a boat.
That's why I got. I told you my favorite nation was a donation, and he is just straight donation.
Well, you aren't getting it either, my friend. I mean, come on, let's go. Pick it up.
I'm making my run late. I'm making my run.
All right, so another guy, and I love, you know, love talking with you, because you'll talk about anything. And another guy who is in the middle of this is Bryce Harper, right? Correct? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked you about watching Philadelphia. Like, when you watch Bryce Harper right now, like, what's your, like, instinctual, what's your feeling toward him?
When I watch Bryce Harper right now, I see a new and improved leader that I did not see when I played with.
Okay.
I see, I mean, if you pay attention to what Dusty Baker said in his interview about him, he said, yeah, you know, I had my time. He was young. We had a lot of run-ins, and he thanked me for those run-ins. I don't know if you saw that interview, but I think that, you know, run-ins and intensity is all part of baseball, but I think everything's come to a culmination for him now. And I bet you he would be thankful for our run-in, just like I am. I'm thankful because you learn and you grow and you become a man. And you figure things out in life. And it's not – people want to get their panties in a wad about it, but it's part of life. It happens on and off the field. And I think he's in a good spot, man. That's why I'm picking them to win, because I feel like he has finally hit that culmination in his career.
Have you talked to him?
No, we don't talk. No, we don't talk anymore. We talked right after. Yeah, we talked right after, of course.
Okay.
And everything was good after that. We talked, and if I was to see him at a field today, I'd go up and say hey and chat with him, catch up with him, see how everything is for sure. We don't have that kind of animosity with him anymore. No, but like I've said before, Jason Varitek has kicked my ass way more than that behind closed doors. So it's all good, man. You know, it really is.
And so it's a good point. You know, it's like, and we forget this. And there's a lot of this stuff that probably happens behind closed doors. And there's a lot of younger. How old was he at that? Like 21 or something?
Yeah,
like that?
I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of this stuff happens, and it's just, and then you flash forward to he's what, 30 now?
Yeah.
Who isn't different from 21 to 30?
Right, man. You know, I mean, it's the whole process, and man, like, honestly, I could really say, man, I'm proud of his development, man. Like, I'm proud to say, man, I played with this guy, but yeah, we had a run in, big deal, man. If you ask 100 players across the board, every single one of them gonna say, yeah, so. Big deal. If he stays in this past, he'll be one of the greatest players to ever play, you know? But throughout that process, he has had to learn a lot. Just like I didn't become saves leader in two historic franchises right out the gate. I had to learn a lot of shit along the way, man.
So tell me, give me an instance now that, you know, maybe not exactly the same sort of situation, but someone who did something similar to you that helped you realize that, hey, you know what, I was young, you know, whatever it is. Was there a moment like that, or was it just over time?
Tim Wakefield.
Yeah.
Me and Mike Timlin got into it during BP in Camden Yards one day, and I remember my Big Poppy was hit BP in the cage, and his fat ass comes running down. Hey, guys, calm down, guys. It's okay. And we're like, get the fuck out of here. You know, we just – anyway, now – awful, a lot of guys, man. And so, you know, it was part of the game. I don't know if it's that much part of the game now, Rob.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, because there's more young guys. I mean, honestly, right? And they're expected to do more right out of the gate. I mean, when Bryce Harper was that age, there wasn't nearly as many 21-year-olds expecting to. Right. Like, he was the aberration of it all.
Correct. Groundbreaker. So,
yeah, I mean, so it's good, man. I'm glad that you have that perspective, and I'm also glad that you get a chance. Like, you have the perspective also of being in Philadelphia for all your buddies. Like, I know you're buddies with a bunch of the Phillies guys. I know because they're in our fantasy football league, but it's cool that you guys get to sort of experience this, right? Seeing these same fans that booed and cheered and did went everything through to the other, and now are going nuts, right?
I mean, and I think about this one time. You can go on Google this one, man, because it shows me putting the people's elbow in one of the Philadelphia fans. He was talking shit to me the whole game and decided to run on the field and jump the bullpen. And so I met him at the fence and I put him I gave him a people's elbow and a chokehold, and he went limp, and the security guards kind of dragged him off the field, you know? Boy, he was mad.
I don't remember that. I don't think that's even on Google. Did anyone know about this or no?
I'm pretty sure you could just type in Papelbon.
People's elbow.
Billy's bull.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So as we sit here, heading into game 3, it's 1-1. What's your prediction?
We're going back to Philadelphia. My prediction is Philadelphia is going to win 2-3 back in Philadelphia. I think the Houston Astros are going to sneak one in. I think they're all going to be fairly tight games. I don't think any of these games will be blowouts. And I think they're going to be dogfights. We probably are going to see a few extra inning games again, I would go as far to say. Houston Astros bullpen is in a better situation than the Phillies. Yeah, but Rob is making all the right decisions for the Phillies right now. The Phillies are hot. Man, you can go a million ways, right?
Mm. Mm. Sounds like you have a gambling podcast.
Yeah, well, I just know what I know, Rob.
I know. Well, listen, I have to ask you as a pitcher, because I've never pitched. This is coming off of game two. I woke up this morning, and the great thing about Twitter, you haven't, by where have you been on Twitter? You disappeared after September.
I know, bro, and I hate it, man, but I've been so busy with my company, Diago. Give a shout-out to them, man. Yep. We are rolling. And we're trying this new marketing scheme, and I don't know if I'm going to switch it to a Diago account, man. I've been kind of – they're putting the pressure on me to do that, so I may even get away from the podcast stuff. And because, man, I know, man. I want to still do it for fun.
Now, listen,
man,
Jesus, this is why
– we're rolling, Rob.
We'll talk offline.
We're in seven different states.
Yeah, we'll talk offline about your marketing strategy. I think, you know, so
I'll get back to the Twitterverse.
Okay, all right. My point was, I woke up and there's like the great thing about Twitter. By the way, Pat, Twitter in the World Series is awesome. Like, it's awesome. I love it. I don't know if you saw that the Taco Bell retweeted me the other day.
Yeah,
you saw that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to order 210 million tacos in the drive-thru.
Hello?
How can I help you today?
Yes, could I order 231 million tacos, please?
Sure, would you like anything else?
No, I think that's it. That's it. Great.
Would you like any sauce for your food today?
No, I think just plain. Plain's good enough. Thank you, though.
You're welcome. You can move forward.
Sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyway, it's great.
Great, man. Who'd have think Kyle Schwarber, man? Great stuff.
Right?
I almost put you know, you can bet on that. I almost put some money on Schwarber. Honestly, God's honest truth. I was like, I'm just going to take the guy that nobody thinks, because every year it's been like an Ellsbury or a Speedy guy.
Yeah.
Or Mookie Betts, you know? I was like, take Schwarbs.
You don't know the odds on that, do you?
Plus 1,100 or plus 1,200.
Okay. All right. Well, I would have been even poorer, because not only did I have to buy 210 million tacos, but I would have had to lost the bet. So my point is that Twitter is awesome during the World Series. I would have loved to do it when you were playing during the World Series, because it adds a whole new element. And when I wake up today, the thing that I see is Framber Valdez basically wiping his hand all over his wrist and his hand. And did you see that stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So obviously, listen, I mean, we know that when you played, everyone's been open. There's Bullfrog and everything else.
Yeah.
But now they're supposed to be cracking down, and you're at the World Series. And I'm sorry, I see the guy wiping his hand, and then they have video of him wiping his hand on his uniform as he's walking to the ump. Like, what is happening?
That's a head scratcher. Yeah. you know, man, look, I don't really know how to comment on this, because I was not a stick'em guy, Rob. I was just a spit, or like some gum and a spit with some rosin.
Yeah.
Because I wanted that ball to come out of my hand fast. And I this was before spin rate happened. Let me spin this son of a bitch as hard as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and then my split finger, you wanted it coming out smooth too.
Yeah.
So it never really was that. And I bought Buddy, man, we had some concoctions in the bullpen that, you know, man. Like, stuff that would just blow your mind, man, especially some of the Dominican players. I can't really get into it, but, man, there was some stick'em that you wouldn't even believe.
But it's supposed to be – the point was, is that we're sitting here at the World Series, you know, a year and a half out from this stuff. And, like,
yeah,
God bless
Twitter. It's not going away.
No, it's not. That's basically it in a nutshell. It's not going away. The last thing is – because I do want to get to this, is about the art of celebrating. Okay. I wanted to do a separate podcast. Maybe this will be a separate podcast. I'll take this. What I'm going to ask you is that I love locker room celebrations. People don't understand. We were talking with Cora about this the other day. People don't get it, that it's such a long season. It's such an investment. No matter what you win, you have the right to celebrate
like whatever way you want. And I love the celebrations and like backward hat Dave Dombrowski, you know, and whatever. But there is nobody, and I'm going to contact some other people, maybe Gomes or somebody else, and like say, okay, the art of celebrating when you win a series. Because I, speaking of Google, I can Google Jonathan Papelbon celebrating wins, and I'll find you with a beer box on your head dancing around in your underwear, right? Give me your take on celebrating. Give me basically the blueprint on how to celebrate.
Okay, my blueprint, it may be different than others, but my blueprint is the fact that I've worked my ass off with no break. And if you give me any ounce to celebrate, I'm going to do it. I've been on teams where they're like, oh, it's the first round, we're not bullshit. Y'all can go home. I'm going to stay here, and I'm still going to celebrate. And, you know, my motto was play hard, work hard. And so my goal was to try to throw up. I wasn't satisfied until I was throwing up the next morning. I mean, I felt like if that happened, it was a pretty good night.
Hey, listen, we all have to have goals, right?
Yeah. And now, you know, kilts and underwear and other things may come into play, but you can't be scared, man. You got to be you, man. You've worked all this hard, man. And so, you know, yeah, your wife might give you these looks. You got to keep moving, man.
So if I was going to do a separate podcast on this, who would you say I should call? Who do you definitely say?
You've got to get your Johnny Gomes. You definitely got to get your Peavies. You got to get
I mean, Napoli's obviously one. But he disappeared. He left for 3 days. So I don't know if that factors in. So
maybe. And I feel like, you know, with Poppy, as much as he's done it, you know, he's become a pro, you know. So, you know, your Curt Schillings and your other guy, you know, they're not. So, you got to just let them do their thing. But
well, I said to Cora back in, I said there was one guy. And listen, I like this guy a lot. It's just everyone approaches it differently. But J.D. Drew just, like, left.
Yeah.
He just went home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wrote his ass many times about that.
I tell you what, pro move from a reporter's perspective, collect the corks. Great Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can collect the bottles, but we have to collect the corks. All right. Yeah. Well, I think we've solved a lot of problems today, Pap, as always. Good.
I can help you on this Sunday morning, man. I'm going to get back to bowling my peanuts, man.
Okay. All right. Listen, your brand has never been hotter. Thank you. Baseball isn't boring. Thanks to you. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Symbiotica is one of the fastest growing health and wellness companies right now. It's so refreshing to see a health and wellness brand only use clean, premium ingredients in its formulas to grow this quickly. Symbiotica supplements are made with 100% clean, natural ingredients. There are no seed oils, fillers, additives, artificial ingredients, or natural flavors in their formulas. They come in this convenient pouch that is super easy to travel with, which is perfect for on the go. For men who want more energy, to build more muscle, to get better sleep, and to feel their best so they can perform their best, Symbiotica is for you. Since subscribing to Symbiotica, I've felt more alert and energized. Mineral Shilajit is by far my favorite supplement. It's nutrient-rich, with over 84 essential vitamins that support overall health. This formula is great for men, as it can support reproductive health, boost testosterone, and support the body during stress. I think all men need to try Symbiotica. They are having an awesome promotion right now. You can get 15% off plus free shipping when you start a subscription. Head to CYMBIOTIKA.com and use code START for 15% off plus free shipping when you start a subscription.